What do you see here? Who sees two faces? Who sees a vase? Who sees a vase? Either answer is correct. Just depends on your perspective. Do you know when you pronounce vase as vase? There's actually an answer. Do you know it? A vase is called a vase when it holds daisies. Let's try another. What animal do you see? Who sees a duck? Who sees a rabbit? Again, both are acceptable. Just depends on your perspective. One more. Do you see a lake or an ocean? Let me pronounce it. This is Sørvágsvatn, the largest lake in the Faroe Islands. It is known as the lake that hangs over the ocean. So again, both are correct. Just depends on your perspective. Our perspective shapes what we see. Do you see a fighter jet or a walking jet? A blanket or a cat? I don't know what's even happening here. Just depends on your perspective, right? My perspective has been changed this year by Psalm 23. So we have read Psalm 23 every week out loud together as a church, and every week it reminded me of who God is. It's reassured me that I have all that I need, that God knows the way to still waters, and that he leads me there. He restores me when I'm broken. He leads me back to the path I should take when I've wandered away. He comforts me when he walks with me through hard days and dark seasons. When I run away, he comes after me with goodness and mercy. And in God, I have a home forever. Psalm 23 has changed my perspective back to that truth every week. And so reading this truth together has encouraged me every week. It lifted my head when it hung low. It raised my heart when it had sunk. It reassured me of God's presence when I was believing I was alone. And it reminded me of God's abundance when I felt empty. Psalm 23 has changed my perspective. Every week, it drew me back to God when I had walked away. And just hearing our collective voices declare this truth every week encouraged me in the community that God is building right here. I don't know if you can believe it, but the one-year anniversary of this church plant is coming up soon. So in September, we will have been meeting weekly as a church for a year. So I thought it was appropriate for the last few weeks of this ministry year to look a little closer at these six verses that have meant so much to us and me over the past year. Have you guys enjoyed reading that together this year? It's special, right, to hear one another declare this. So beginning September, we have a new reading that we'll go through together, and it'll be a surprise. So let's stand. We're going to read Psalm 23 together. But I want to point something out before we do that. In these six verses, there are no question marks. Right? This is true. It is a statement declaring truth that God is for you. He is with you. He goes before you and guides you. He is next to you, walking alongside you through even the darkest valley, and he's following you with his goodness and his mercy. That is true. So let's declare it as such. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. God, we thank you for the truth that is contained in Psalm 23. That is just a sweet picture of your love for us. of your presence with us, of your authority over creation, of your victory. We thank you that it is all true. God, would it change our perspective as we look at it over the next few weeks, and would you use it to draw us closer to you? And God, there are, when we have this many people gathered, there is a broken heart here today. There's somebody here today who feels alone. There's somebody here celebrating great news. There's a couple rejoicing. God, there are people who feel hope for the first time in a long time. God, we bring all the range of human life here, and you meet us right where we are at. So God, where heads are hung low today, would you lift them up to see you? And God, where we are celebrating, would you remind us that every good and perfect gift is from you? God, would you use me and my words in spite of me today? And would the name of Jesus be lifted above all else? Because it's in his name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. So verse 1 of Psalm 23 can change our perspective on everything. It will change our perspective on who God is. It can change our perspective on how God sees us. And those two things change how we see today and tomorrow. So we've been reading Psalm 23 for the last year in the ESV, the English Standard Version translation. And if you need a Bible or a study Bible, there's one there, and there's some back on the soundboard. They are a gift to you, so if you need one, please take them with you. Today, hopefully, we're going to memorize Psalm 23, verse 1 in the NLT, the New Living Translation. Most Sundays, I'm teaching from this translation because we are all ages together, and it's a little bit easier for everybody to understand. So let's just briefly talk about why different Bible translations exist. So the Bible was not written in English, believe it or not. It was written in other languages that had to be translated into English. And there are a lot of different ways to do it. You can translate it like word by word or idea by idea. A lot of different ways to do it. Let me give you an example. Here's something the kids would say today. Bro's got Sigma Riz. If you are under 19, raise your hand if you've ever said that or something similar to it. I'm about to... Come on, you kids have said that. Thank you, yes. You've said it. So there are a lot of ways to translate this. Here's one option. Brother has extremely good charisma. I think most of us understand. Here's another one. The male encompasses significant charm. Another one. Bruh's got skibbity swag. We all get what that is saying. And then finally, thou possesses virtuous captivation. So all of these express a similar idea, right? They just relate to different demographics in a different way. So a good Bible translation, it honors the meaning of the text as accurately as possible, but it also helps a modern reader have an impactful interaction with God's word, much like the original audience. So there's way, way more to Bible translations. It goes a lot deeper. There's a lot more to it. I just wanted to give you, here's an explanation of why different ones exist and why they are different. So the NLT translates Psalm 23, verse 1 as this: the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. Can we declare that together? The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. I'll say it again like you believe that. The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. I'm going to turn off my microphone and now you do it. Could that change your perspective? Those three things. The Lord, who he is my shepherd. If you know who he is and believe he's your shepherd, the result of that is you have all that you need. So the Lord, God, Almighty, the creator of all things, the beginning and the end, he is your shepherd who protects you and guides you and cares for you. So because of that, you have all that you need. Already. That is a present have. You don't have to want. You don't have to worry. You don't have to fear. You have all that you need. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. If you've never memorized Scripture, I want to encourage you to tuck that away. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. This is A.W. Tozier. He said, "What comes to our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." He says, "Our view of God, our perspective of God, shapes how we see everything." So Psalm 23 begins with an astonishing picture of God. It says, "The Lord." So the Lord is the translation of the Hebrew name of God, Yahweh, which translates as, "I am who I am," or "I will be who I will be." That means God remains God. God is God regardless of our circumstances. God is God regardless of our feelings. God is God even when we have pushed him away. God is God when we've been mean to our friends or haven't listened to our parents. God is God when we have given in to temptation. God is God when we feel like we or our life is hopeless. And God is unending, so is his care. God is unending, so is his provision. God is unending, and neither does his grace end, or his wisdom, or his love for us, or his patience, because I've tried it. Man, I've tried to wear out God's patience, and he just keeps loving me, and he does the same for you. God is unending. The Lord, Yahweh, the great I am, the faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations and lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him and obey his commands. Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy, slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. That is the Lord. He is your shepherd who walks with you even through the darkest valley, and that should change your perspective. Last year, I went on a mission trip and met a family in Pemba, Zambia. Pemba's on the other side of Edom. You just go to Edom and then just keep going. This is the bustling Pemba town square. Traffic was really moving. Okay, folks. Okay. This sign boasts that Pemba is the cleanest town of all times. Not just all time, all times, plural. Cleanest town of all times. Again, just depends on your perspective. If you had been there, you would understand that. So we drove miles and miles. I'm sorry, they would say kilometers and kilometers down a long dirt road. We had been on a rough road for a few hours. When I say rough, I mean the roads that keep chiropractors in business and can make a man green about the gills. Civilization hadn't shown itself for hours. For hours, no signs of life going down this dirt road when all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a herd of goats appeared. They looked as out of place as a Bennigan's in the African countryside. Where did these goats come from? Where did they belong? Who was caring for them? After thousands of more bumps and many more kilometers, I saw a shepherd on a hill. He was watching his goats. He had gone before them. He had scanned for dangers. He had cleared the way. And the goats didn't know it. They were eating and they were playing, all while the shepherd was watching over them and providing for them and caring for them. That is what your shepherd does for you. So this is C.S. Lewis. Today we have the battle of men who have initials for names. We have A.W. Tozier and C.S. Lewis. C.S. did not agree with A.W., and he said, "I read in a periodical the other day that the fundamental thing is how we think of God. By God himself, it is not. How God thinks of us is not only more important, but infinitely more important." He says, it's not what we think of God, it's what God thinks of us. So how does God think of us? How does God think of little old you and me? Well, Paul wrote in Colossians that your real life is hidden with Christ in God, and when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So what that means is God doesn't view you as your mistakes. God's perspective on you is not your regrets. His perspective isn't that time you were mean to your friends or didn't listen to your parents. His perspective on you isn't when you gave into temptation. And he never, ever views you as hopeless. Because God gave his son Jesus to forgive all of that, to wash it away, to give you a relationship with him today and eternal life in the future. And when you trust Jesus as your Savior, your life is hidden in him. It is tucked away in Christ. And that is God's perspective on you. God looks at you and sees you through Jesus, righteous and redeemed and loved. And that is how your shepherd views you. He loves you. He watches over you. He goes before you and he scans for danger and he clears the path. And we just go about life eating and playing, all while our shepherd watches over us, and cares for us, and provides for us. So because of who God is, because he is the Lord, because of what he does as our shepherd and watches over us, we have all that we need. Speaking of Bennigans, you know what I want? Bennigan's Monte Cristo sandwich. Son, that's what I'm talking about. Now, with my high blood pressure and high cholesterol, do I need that? Do I need that Monte Cristo and that powdered sugar, that raspberry jam, those French fries and pickles and that tall, cool soda? Do I need that? Maybe not, but I want it. Right? And what we have to understand is who God is, him being the Lord, who he will be, who he will be, and him being our shepherd who watches over us and care for us. Because of that, we have all that we need. And the hardest part, though, is we may not get what we want. But just like this Monte Cristo and all that comes with it, that may be what I want, but it may not be the best thing for me. But I have what I need. Right? In Psalm 16, David tells God, he says, "The land you have given me is a pleasant land." What a wonderful inheritance. He says, "The land you have given me." He doesn't say, "Man, that land over there, man, that looks good. I want to go, I want that. Can I have that house? Man, this person has a nice car. Can I have their car? Or this spouse who I really loved years ago. This one over here sure maybe looks better to me. Can I have that one? Or this salary, can I have that one?" No, David says, "The land you have given me. What you have given me is a pleasant land." So since God is our shepherd, we can live today in the land he has given us, knowing that he is our shepherd and we have all that we need. And he says, what a wonderful inheritance. Our inheritance, our birthright as his sons and daughters, what we inherit is God himself. what he does for us, what he promises to continue to provide for us. So knowing who the Lord is, knowing that he is our shepherd that cares for us, we can live today knowing we have what we need. And it also changes our perspective on the future. The Bible ends with a picture of what happens as all those who trust Jesus as their shepherd, and it says, no longer will there be a curse upon anything, for the throne of God and of the Lamb will be there, and his servants will worship him, and they will see his face. And his name will be written on their foreheads, and there will be no night there, no need for lamps or sun, for the Lord God will shine on them, and they will reign forever and ever. So one day, in God's presence, he will be all that we need. So until then, when you don't get what you want, try to be thankful, because it's probably not what you need. Because you have the Lord, he is your shepherd, and he will give you all that I need. The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. Let that change your perspective. When you get anxious, when the day is long and your temper's short, your patience is gone, let that change your perspective. When it hurts, maybe when you hurt and you don't even know why, let that change your perspective. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. Even when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the Lord is your shepherd. You have all that you need. The Lord, God, Almighty, the creator of all things, the beginning and the end, he is your shepherd. Who cares for you, who provides for you, who goes before you, who is with you, who follows you with his goodness and his mercy. So because of that, you have all that you need. You have. You don't have to want, you don't have to worry, you don't have to fear. You have all that you need. The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. So in this series, I just want to lead us in a really intentional time of prayer and just give us some prompts to think through based on this text, just to make sure we're applying it to our own lives. So let's pray, and I'm just going to lead us and some questions to reflect on. God, we are grateful we can come to you. We are grateful that you came to us in your son Jesus. And just as we pray now, help us to make this truth something that changes us. So I ask us now, just how do you see God? God, help us to be honest with you how we see you. Maybe somebody didn't have a dad or had one who hurt them, so the idea of you as a father is hard. Or God, maybe somebody here sees you as somebody who's silent. So help us to honestly look at how we see you, God. And now, God, we reflect on how you see us. Because we know all the stuff we wish we could change or wish we hadn't done, or regrets. Junk that we carry. God, your word tells us that you see us hidden in Christ. That you look at us and you see his perfection. And you see us as righteous and redeemed and loved. So help us to accept that and be thankful for it and not carry around all those things that you have forgiven, to not put chains on that you have broken. And so, God, we also come before you now with all the things that we want. Some of it may be that we just feel like we don't have enough. Some of it may be real practical needs of healing, of hope. And I know I confess that I ask you for such specific things that I miss what you're doing because I'm looking somewhere else. So God, help this to be real to us, that we have all that we need. Help us to understand what that means. God, I am so grateful for this church. And it's not this place, it is this people. What a beautiful people you have called together in your name. So let this be a truth today that changes us, that changes our hearts, our lives, our workplaces, our schools, our marriages, our families, our neighborhoods, our communities. God, would we know that we are loved and forgiven, so would we be people who love others and forgive and show grace and mercy like you have. Help us look into eyes of people who are hurting. God, help us to not be afraid, to live in the fullness of who you are, the Lord, who is our shepherd. So God, we thank you. We praise you for who you are and how you see us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.